From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A book available for those who support the ministry all this month, and you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, is the book by Paul Chamberlain titled Why People Stop Believing. That's a very, very pertinent question. And the book addresses a growing need in apologetic literature. In other words, literature that defends the faith once for all delivered to the saints. It's a response to the growing wave, and it is a growing wave of Christian leaders who are rejecting Christianity, who are becoming some of the most ardent critics of Christianity in our day, and they're having an enormous impact on people. This is a new challenge. It's from a different breed of critics, critics who are using their instant credibility, their insider's knowledge of theology, of the Bible, of church history, even of apologetics, to debunk the faith they once believed and promoted. And they have taken aim at the very foundations of the historic Christian faith, including God, including the Bible, including miracles and the supernatural, and including Christianity's perceived inherent prohibition on free inquiry. People like this aggressive breed of skeptic, well, they know what it feels like on the inside because they once were on the inside. They understand Christianity and the Bible better than most Christians since they studied, they taught it for years. And so Paul Chamberlain is addressing these critics. You might ask, what kind of Christian leader walks away from the Christian faith? But look at the Bible. The Bible has examples of men that did just that. Hymenaeus, Alexander, Paul says, suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. But Paul Chamberlain gives us some very current examples. One is a person who was raised in a loving Southern Baptist home. He was once a fundamentalist Christian, and that for over 20 years. And then he says his study of philosophy, of science, of other academic disciplines helped free his mind from the shackles of religion. And he now leads the atheist community in Austin, Texas. Now here's another example. This is a young man. They began to read the Bible uncritically, and it all seemed so real to him. But then he went on to study theology and philosophy at two evangelical seminaries. Later, he studied on a PhD level, and he preached for over a decade in all kinds of churches. He taught Christian apologetics along the way, but today he sings a different tune. Today he has written a thick and a very well-endorsed book that outlines his journey well into atheism, and he sets forth his reasons for rejecting the Christian faith. He now has a blog. It's devoted to debunking Christianity. And he's developed a team of bloggers to help him do that. Another example is the chair of the Department of Religious Studies at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. He's a very, very well-known person. He once attended both a prominent Bible college and a highly regarded Christian college, but eventually rejected his faith. And as a critic of the faith today, he has written or edited over 20 books. His name is Bart Ehrman. He has written numerous scholarly articles and dozens of book reviews. He has made a splash all over the world. And he's very, very proud of the fact that as a result of his writings, of his speaking, virtually all the Christians that come through his classes walk away from the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Another skeptic, well, he served as a Pentecostal minister for 25 years. But he is now rising in prominence as an American atheist and is known especially as the founder of one of America's first secular churches. Another example, a university professor. He was raised as a pastor's kid. Eventually, he landed a teaching position at an evangelical seminary. And then, in his words, he began to put his religion under the academic microscope. And eventually he found himself no longer believing the faith he had grown up with, the faith he had held all his life. When it became clear that he no longer possessed this faith, he made the difficult decision to leave behind his full-time faculty position. And in a recent article, he encouraged other professors in Christian institutions to follow his lead and consider being open about their new identity as atheists as well. Let me give you one last example. It is a person who was ordained to the Christian ministry in California, but 9 years later announced he too had become an atheist. And as an atheist, he has now written 4 books and many, many articles. One particular theme that runs through all of his books and articles is that Christianity placed severe restrictions on his ability to reason, his ability to ask questions, to consider life's biggest questions. And it did this by telling him and many others what to believe regardless of whatever evidence or argument they might have come across. Think of the credibility and respect that these skeptics have today. Think about it in this way. I've written about Islam, but oftentimes we attribute to an ex-Muslim or an ex-Hindu or an ex-just about anyone. We attribute a certain amount of credibility to them. We naturally do that. So if an ex-Muslim is writing a book that debunks Islam, we say, wow, this is really credible. We talk about it in Christian circles. So imagine the credibility of an ex-Christian writing in atheist circles, taken very seriously, given a big platform, and therefore we must have an answer, a response. And this is one of the reasons that we promote books like Why People Stop Believing. When you actually read Why They Stop Believing, and I wrote about this with respect to Bart Ehrman in my book, Has God Spoken? You find out that the reasons are quite flimsy. The arguments don't hold a lot of weight, but yet they're very effective, and therefore they need to be countered. There's so many people are falling for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. I'm not going to go over some of the arguments with Bart Ehrman, but I've done that on the show. I've shown how he takes passages He reads them in a wooden, literalistic fashion, and then he debunks the passage. And people fall for the rhetoric. We have to be thinking Christians. Truth matters. As I say over and over again on the broadcast, life matters more. So it's important that when we defend the faith, we are empowered to do so by a power that I like to say is in us but not of us. In other words, we're living not just a changed life, but an exchanged life, an engrafted life. It is the power of God within that energizes us for the task that is so crucial in this epoch of time. Again, the book, Why People Stop Believing, available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go to the phone lines. Chill up first in Amarillo, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Chill.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm great. I know you called in yesterday, and I didn't get to you. I'm sorry. Thank you for your patience.
Oh, no, no. I'm glad you're busy. I found the resources that I'm going to need. I am, too, going through orthodoxy training, and it seemed to me on your comments just a minute ago about all of the people going into atheism, I'm really not so sure that they've had a true conversion then. I don't care if they were preachers or what. It's just because you can't walk into Christ and then walk away.
I think you're making a great point there. Let me just amplify that point. I think so much of Christianity is transactional. In other words, a person prays a prayer and they've made a transaction. And I think what you're alluding to, and correctly so, the Christian faith ought not to be transactional. It ought to be transformational. In other words, the church is a spiritual gymnasium in which we receive graces. And those graces allow us to be transformed. And it's not a one-time transformation, it's an ongoing transformation. We might say it is from grace to grace to grace.
Absolutely. It's just an impossibility to experience Jesus in his fullness and then be able to walk away and embrace atheism. It's just, it can't happen. Well, it shouldn't happen. Anyway.
But there are so many, and go ahead.
No, sir, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, there's so many people that do. I mean, I think of the kids that went to a Christian school with my daughter, Faith. They went right from a very, very fine Christian school in Charlotte, North Carolina, Charlotte Christian. It's a fantastic school. But they went to sit in the classes of Bart Ehrman. And my daughter told me that virtually, I think she said everyone, but just to qualify, virtually every one of her peers, her friends that went to the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, walked away from the Christian faith and did so almost immediately. And it was not just because of what they were learning from the professors like Bart Ehrman, but also from peer pressure. They're being asked questions and they were being given a narrative and they didn't know how to deal with it. Fortunately,
exactly.
My daughter did, and so she did not walk away from the faith. In fact, she embraced wholeheartedly for the faith because she knew that there were answers and her faith is not transactional, it's transformational.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Through my journey into Orthodoxy, I'm finding that more and more relevant. It is a transformational process, which leads me to the question. In my studies, as I'm going through all of the books that I'm reading, some of the Orthodoxy things I'm reading is about the world as it was known in the biblical sense. Giving the stories of, let's say, the Epic of Gilgamesh and so on, you know, which ties so closely to the biblical literature. What about those that were not even on the same continent during these times, such as in America, where we have archaeological evidence of human beings, but yet no form of religion? What is their stance, in your opinion, as to eternity.
Yeah, well, a couple things. First of all, the Epic of Gilgamesh was a Babylonian account of the flood. And what's cool about it is, though it is fraught with all kinds of imprecisions, it still points to a global flood, which is imprinted on the collective consciousness of humanity. But beyond that, those who have never heard have actually heard, because we all have the light of creation. God has imprinted a knowledge of himself on the canvas of our consciousness, and if we respond to the light we have, we will be given more light. I like to quote Blaise Pascal, who said, God dwells in enough light, so if we want to find him, we will, and he dwells in enough obscurity, so that if we do not want to find him, we will not. Coming to station break, thanks for your call, Joe. We'll be back in just a moment with more answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
Christians today need to be on the lookout for friendly fire from within the faith. There is a growing wave of former Christian leaders who are now rejecting Christianity and doing their best to make certain that you lose your faith too, which is why it is essential for you to be equipped in your faith. Paul Chamberlain takes these critics head on in his new book, Why People Stop Believing, to equip you with apologetic answers to defend your faith against those who want to see you stop believing. To receive Why People Stop Believing, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. It is important to understand the sources of our modern distaste for the teaching of the doctrine of hell, for they are part of the strongholds characteristic of our times. By critically exploring these sources, we can best instruct children in the essential biblical doctrine of hell and avoid an actual abuse of greater severity, which would be their being unaware of its reality. Other topics include Called to be Mere Ambassadors, The Story of God with Morgan Freeman, The Jesus of Mormonism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Christians today are now facing friendly fire from within the faith. There is a growing wave of former Christian leaders who are now rejecting Christianity and doing their best to make certain that you lose your faith too, which is why it is essential for you to be equipped in your faith. Paul Chamberlain takes these critics head on in his new book, Why People Stop Believing, to equip you with apologetic answers to defend your faith against those who want to see you stop believing. To receive your copy of Why People Stop Believing by Paul Chamberlain, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI Support Team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Cody next in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Cody.
Hello, Hank. It's nice to listen to you and what you have to say.
Thank you.
I just have a quick question, and I know that one guy was kind of talking about the last guy you talked to about the Christians coming to atheists. Well, I know the devil went from God's grace to God's, you know, cast out. But I remember vaguely about the Bible saying something in the New Testament, one of the apostles, about them leaving, that a person who leaves the faith cannot come back to the faith. Can you expand on that a little bit, if it's in there or not, or if I just misheard somebody?
Well, I think you did mishear someone. I mean, there's a sense in which it is very difficult for those who have genuinely tasted the fruit of the Christian faith to come back once they abandon it. But the overall teaching of Scripture is that as long as you have breath in your body, you can fall upon the graces of God. The problem is that when you have tasted the riches of God and then you turn away from those riches, something happens to your heart. It becomes hard. And a hard heart becomes harder. And it becomes more and more difficult to extract yourself from Satan's world and to once again become part of the kingdom of God. But I would say that we can never say never, because certainly we know that there are those like Judas, tasted God's goodness. He was in Christ's inner circle, who rebelled, who sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver, and yet he could have repented. Judas, if we put the magnifying glass in the New Testament writer's hands, Judas never really repented. He had remorse, sort of like getting caught, but he never really repented. That's the sense that the biblical writers give us. But there are those who did repent. You think about one of the most outrageous examples of duplicity in the Bible, and you immediately think about Peter. Here, Peter has been able to walk on water, at least when his faith was sufficient, and then he began to sink. Peter saw the miracles of Jesus Christ. Peter actually, on the Mount of Transfiguration, saw the transfiguration of Jesus Christ and was himself enveloped in uncreated energy. And yet, Peter denied Jesus Christ, not just once, not twice, but three times. And he was remorseful, but also repentant. And Jesus Christ said to him three times, "Feed my sheep." And Peter became an apostle who had a tremendous impact. In fact, in the end, did not deny Jesus Christ, but was willing to be crucified upside down because he did not consider himself to be worthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord. Now, we don't know all of the details. We know them from tradition. The tradition is very, very solid. But I certainly believe that this is how Peter died. And you have Paul, who once persecuted Christians. He should have known better. He should have known that Jesus Christ was the only one that could walk through the doorway of the Old Testament prophets. He was steeped in that knowledge, and yet he persecuted Christians. And he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, and yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So you have examples in Scripture of people who did horrendous things, including David in the Old Testament, by the way, who repented and were received back as followers of God, Yahweh, the God of Israel, ultimately revealed in Jesus Christ.
Okay, well, thanks very much for that. Yeah, it's just like I said, I heard that somewhere. I just wasn't sure about that. So anyway, thank you very much. God bless you, and you have yourself a great day.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your call, and the testimonies keep pouring in. Christine, she reviewed our podcast, 5 stars, she said, and I hate to read these because they seem so supportive of me. I really appreciate it, but I don't deserve some of the accolades. She says, Hank is genuine, very well studied and informed. He has no agenda other than promoting God's agenda. Yeah, that's very rare in the Christian world today. Tashawn gave us a 5-star rating. Love Hank and his knowledge. Andre in Virginia Beach, Virginia, also a 5-star rating. Love your show, your message. Love your book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Listen to it today on One Place. About to get the book. You're awesome, brother. Can't wait to read. Love you, bro. Glad you're healthy or getting there. So awesome to have you share your biblical knowledge. You definitely are not afraid to tell the truth and the whole truth. The whole truth in big caps. Or should I say, share the whole Bible. God bless you, brother. You say way more people than you know. You help way more people than you know. Andre, thank you. And let me say something about my health and respond to what you've written. A lot of you know that I have mantle cell lymphoma. I've been very transparent about that. I was diagnosed April 15th, 2017, so I've had it for a while. And I've gone through chemotherapy, and I'm now in a clinical trial. And the good news today is I spent a good part of the day at Levine Cancer Center, and turns out that all my statistics and numbers and metrics are perfect, perfectly consistent with that of a healthy person. Which is to say that I'm fairly sure that when I do my PET scan, which will take place sometime early next month, I'll find out that I'm in complete remission. But I have no sense whatsoever of the effects of cancer. I'm strong. I'm healthy. My mind is clear. Some may want to argue with that. My body is strong, and I've been able over the last couple of weeks to do some amazing things by God's grace. One is to travel to Greece and speak in Crete and Athens. Another is to travel to California and to mingle with some wonderful saints in Southern California. And all of that powered by the Holy Spirit. I feel like I'm a walking miracle. People that see me say, I do not see any sign of cancer, and that's precisely how I feel. So I'm very, very grateful to God for the health that He has given me. I want to say something else, and that is about an article that I read in the newspaper, which is titled, Suddenly the Left Loves Leviticus. It was in the Washington Examiner, article by Everett Piper. And he says, all of a sudden, the mainstream media, Hollywood, the liberal church, and other members of our national intelligentsia seem to care about what the Bible says. These newly minted defenders seem to have all of a sudden, well, fallen in love with the third book of the Jewish Torah. Of course, I'm referring here to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34 in particular. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. And this is being used as a way of saying that we ought to have open borders, sanctuary cities, and that if people are here illegal, we ought to embrace them fully. Now, however you feel about that issue, the passage in question, Leviticus chapter 19, clearly involves legal rather than illegal aliens. And the biblical purpose of sanctuary law was not to avoid adherence to the law, but to receive justice under the law. And nor does the text suggest open borders. Borders and walls are part and parcel of the biblical narrative. When Abraham crossed borders, he did so on the basis of prior approval. And this was contingent on him being obedient to the laws of the land. And that was not only true for Old Testament people like Abraham, but also for Mary and Joseph in the New Testament as they entered Egypt. So reading anachronistic modern meanings into ancient Near Eastern context is not enlightened. Instead of reading anachronistic prejudices into the text of the Bible, we'd be far better served to read the Bible synergistically. Nancy Pelosi had no hope of comprehending the provisions of Obamacare if she did not read, and she didn't, its 2,000 pages. And we do no justice to Torah law without careful consideration of its complexities. As I like to say, we can no more read New World realities into ancient Near Eastern legalities than we can read Torah legalities into New Covenant realities. We must ever be mindful that the whole of Scripture is greater than the sum of its individual parts. We cannot grasp the Bible as a whole without grasping its individual passages, nor its individual passages without grasping the Bible as a whole. Again, however one feels about illegal immigrants or aliens in sanctuary cities, it is hardly proper to take a biblical author like Moses and make him say something he quite obviously did not intend to say. We are coming up to station break. When I come back from the break, the quote of the day and more answers to your questions. And my thanks to all of you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
What happens when defenders of the faith become defectors from the faith? Armed with claims of credibility and an intimate understanding of their former faith, these lapsed leaders prey on the unequipped believer to debunk the faith that they themselves once believed and promoted, to make certain that you stop believing too. In his new book, Why People Stop Believing, Paul Chamberlain examines the arguments that former Christians claim compelled them to call it quits on Christianity, and carefully deconstructs these critiques so you too can defend your faith against the defectors from it. To receive Why People Stop Believing, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
What happens when an up-and-coming European bioscientist goes from being a Darwin disciple to a Darwin defector? Sparks fly. Heretic is the story of a scientist that follows the evidence wherever it leads. Heretic by Maddie Laisola and Jonathan Witt traces Laisola's investigative path to show how the evidence points more strongly than ever to the original biotechnologist, a designing intelligence whose skill and reach dwarf those of even our finest bioengineers and leaves blind evolution in the dust. You won't want to miss this journey from Darwin to design. To receive your copy of Heretic, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271, or just visit us online at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. A major reason mindfulness has been successfully mainstreamed is that we are so overstimulated and chronically busy. Because mindfulness has entrenched itself in American culture, Christians need to investigate it thoroughly in order to determine whether it is friend or foe. Other topics include the Jesus of Mormonism, the philosophy of atheist Bertrand Russell, how does the human soul come into existence, the story of Morgan Freeman, not God, is it abusive to teach children about hell, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
What happens when an up-and-coming European scientist follows the evidence and flips from Darwin disciple to Darwin defector? Confrontation and heat. Just ask biochemist Maddie Laisola. In the new book, Heretic, Professor Laisola tells his story, starting when a student loaned the Finnish scientist a book criticizing evolutionary theory. Laisola reacted angrily and set out to defend evolution, but found his efforts raised more questions than they answered. He soon morphed into a full-on Darwin skeptic, even as he was on his way to becoming a leading bioengineer. To receive your copy of Heretic, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. Randy, the quote of the day comes from David Berlinski. He has taught at Stanford, Rutgers, the City University of New York, and the University of Paris. And he has an interesting quote that was that we found in The Devil's Delusion. In fact, that quote can be found in the book Heretic. And this is a book that is available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It is One Scientist's Journey from Darwin to Design. And for that journey from Darwinism to design, for believing in intelligent design, he is considered a heretic in the evolutionary community. Well, as a scientist, in Finland and later in Switzerland, Matti Laisola was privileged to take part in some very significant scientific breakthroughs. And he had the opportunity to work alongside of some of the most famous scientists from Europe and Japan and the United States. And by the way, as a young student, Matti used to laugh at those who he thought placed God in the gaps of our scientific knowledge. This God of the gaps criticism, of course, is a very common criticism that is leveled against Christians and other religious believers, against all of those who insist that there is clear evidence of design in nature. Pro-design people, well, they threw up their hands and used the God did it explanation. It is supposed as a cover for their ignorance. But that criticism ends up cutting both ways. And that is because a functional atheist also can reach for pat explanations in the face of mystery. It's just that for him, the pat explanation will never be God. And that leads me to the quote from David Berlinski, who said this in The Devil's Delusion. Western science has proceeded by filling gaps, but in filling them, it has created gaps all over again. The process is inexhaustible. Einstein created the special theory of relativity to accommodate certain anomalies in the interpretation of Clerk Maxwell's theory of the electromagnetic field. Special relativity led directly to general relativity. But general relativity is inconsistent with quantum mechanics, the largest visions of the physical world alien to one another. Understanding has improved, but within the physical sciences, anomalies have grown great. And what is more, anomalies have grown great because understanding has improved. Now, I would add to this what Matti writes about in Heretic, and that is materialists think that because we continue to make discoveries about the natural world, the pool of known mysteries must be shrinking towards zero. But instead, whole landscapes of new mystery present themselves to science precisely when some new major discovery is achieved, like the explorer reaching the crest of a mountain and finding a new realm laying out before him. And so scientists are supposed to investigate mysteries with an open mind and not assume an explanation from the outset. It isn't very scientific to imply trust the majority of scientific specialists on a subject, because the majority may be correct, but the history of science shows that often the majority is incorrect. Scientific progress requires some healthy skepticism, and that means resisting the cult, as I said yesterday, of science says or settled science. And the greatest scientific breakthroughs have been made through people that bucked the trend. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Mag, listening in Weddington, North Carolina. Hi, Mag.
Yes, hi, Hank.
Your question.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, my question regarding the dietary law of the Jewish people, which is Paul actually changed dietary law in the New Testament. So it's really like Paul has authority to change that in his vision when he looked at the vision and said, oh, you can eat whatever you want. Because I really like, I have a lot of Jewish friends and they tell me that Paul contradicted God by saying something else that changed the word, although that Jesus came and follow the law.
Well, that's not true, because Jesus is God, and Jesus made very, very clear that the dietary laws, the civil and ceremonial laws, are fulfilled in him. And Jesus, of course, talked about that in Mark, where he said it's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that ultimately defiles him. It is that which proceeds from the heart. And Mark then appends the words of Jesus by saying, in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. And of course, we see in the New Testament as well, God speaking directly to Peter about this. Peter is shown a vision of clean and unclean food three times because Peter doesn't want to go see Cornelius because he thinks Cornelius is unclean. And so God gives him this vision three times. And later on, when Peter's talking to Cornelius, he tells Cornelius about his experience. And he says to Cornelius that after he saw the vision three times, he finally understood that God does not show favoritism. So you have to see that there's a type and an antitype. There's a symbol and a substance. And the biggest error is the error in not recognizing the fulfillment. And this is an error that is still made by people who want to go back to dietary laws. I remember when I was in Tehran with two Jewish rabbis, Rabbi Weiss and Rabbi Goldstein, and both of them were following the dietary laws. And they had a hard time eating in Iran because they were trying to follow the dietary laws. Well, the problem here is that the dietary laws pointed towards a substance, that substance has come, and to go back to the dietary laws when the substance has come is the big problem. Now, if you use the dietary laws for just physical purposes and you're not reading something into it, it's a very different thing.
I see. I just, because my Jewish friend tells me all the time, because I deal with them, is you guys changing things, and if God say one thing in the Old Testament, he's not going to change his mind in the New Testament.
Well, no, I mean, but the thing is, if you are going to go by the civil and ceremonial laws in a theocratic kingdom, then you also have to start stoning people that turn their car on Sundays because that's combustion and you're not supposed to light a fire. So, if they want to live by the letter of the law, it becomes very, very difficult. You know, obviously, Jesus Christ fulfilled. I mean, that's the whole point. The point is, in the Old Testament, you have types and shadows. They point forward to Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes, you don't go back to types and shadows.
I got you.
And let me say one other thing in response to your question. There is a quantum difference between enduring moral principles and temporary ceremonial practices that are relegated to a particular historical context. And again, the distinction between clean and unclean animals was symbolic of something. It was symbolic of a distinction between that which was holy and that which was unholy, and that within the context of a theocratic kingdom, God ruling directly over a people. The ceremonial symbolism of the law was fulfilled in Christ. He makes the unclean clean. And therefore, as Scripture declares, we are not to call anything impure that God has made clean. You see that in Acts 10. You see it in Acts 15. You see it in the verse that I quoted earlier in Mark 7. You see it in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So the idea that the Bible teaches that eating shellfish is an abomination is simply false. It's not. There was a civil and ceremonial law that has been fulfilled. And again, Jesus made this plain when he rebuked the Pharisees and the teachers of the law for holding on to the traditions of men. He said, "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? It doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, then out of his body." And then again, in saying that, Jesus declared all foods clean. And the point is that the food is not the source of moral defilement, but rather moral defilement comes from the heart. And this was a principle that explains why Gentile Christians need not observe traditional Jewish dietary scruples. the symbol of ceremonial legalities was fulfilled in the substance of the Master Jesus Christ.
So you tell me that it was not, it was done. The law was the God. When God put the dietary law, he put a limit to it until Jesus Christ comes in?
Yes, and again, I'm not telling you that. The Scripture is making that very plain in all the passages that I cited. So again, there is a distinction between clean and unclean animals, but that symbolized the distinction between that which was holy and that which was unholy within the context of a theocratic kingdom. You can't carry that forward when the substance has come to fulfill the symbol.
I see what you're saying. All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, you got it, and thank you so much for your question. We are almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Enough time for me to say that it would be a privilege if you would consider joining CRI's monthly support team. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. When you do, I would be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. The book that is most requested is the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, because this is a book in which I answer many of the questions that are asked on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you can join CRI's monthly support team, you will not only be supporting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but all the ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And on the web at equip.org, you can see exactly how to join CRI's monthly support team. And I'll be pleased to send out the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. For those of you supporting the ministry this month, remember I have got two great books. One I quoted from earlier, Heretic, One Scientist's Journey from Darwin to Design. Another by Paul Chamberlain, Why People Stop Believing. Either one of those books available for those who support the ministry and stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Christians today are now facing friendly fire from within the faith. There is a growing wave of former Christian leaders who are now rejecting Christianity and doing their best to make certain that you lose your faith too, which is why it is essential for you to be equipped in your faith. Paul Chamberlain takes these critics head on in his new book, Why People Stop Believing, to equip you with apologetic answers to defend your faith against those who want to see you stop believing. To receive your copy of Why People Stop Believing by Paul Chamberlain, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences,
filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.